Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use the reading out of Nehemiah chapter 8 as a text and just emphasize the last verse and a half. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Have you ever had one of those determinations to turn over a new leaf and you go at it hard and the old leaf looks just like the new leaf or vice versa? You just don't feel like there's a change in your life. This text is about a people who got so used to things the way they were that they begin to believe that their life was always going to be this way. They had forgotten what God could do, and they'd lived with fear so long they forgot what joy was all about. They had that phrase I've heard lately in life, their new normal was no longer one of glory. They just had a broken down city and a broken down wall, and they weren't in charge of their life anymore. It helps to see what Nehemiah accomplished, or maybe what we should say God accomplished. After years of failure, built that wall in 52 days. But for 100 years, they had been trying to build the wall, and every attempt had been foiled by their devious enemies who lived around them, and they got used to failure. Maybe this pitiful existence they had was the new normal for the people of God, and maybe they should just give up, and maybe they shouldn't try anymore. And so I think they gave up on a good life, and they gave up on security, and they gave up on the promises of God. They would have to live in a city without walls, with gates that would not close. They would have to let other people be their boss. It gotten so bad, check out chapter 5, verse 4. They finally had to sell their own children. Listen, and now, we have borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and our vineyards, yet we are forcing our sons and daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have already been enslaved. They were selling their kids to pay their taxes, and they were becoming used to that way of life. Let this be a lesson for all of time. When you place your security in walls that you build, maybe you will never feel safe. Nehemiah showed up, and interesting, he didn't start by grabbing a wheelbarrow, didn't start by pointing out a pile of rocks and said, "I want those rocks up here on the wall." The Bible says he first spent time in prayer. Before he ever moved to Jerusalem, he spent time in prayer. Before he ever went to the king of Persia to say, "I want to go there," he spent time in prayer. He reminded them of who they were finally, that God had made promises to his people, and they built the whole wall, repaired all the gates in 52 days. That by itself is amazing, but he came to do more than rebuild the wall. It wasn't even their main problem. He came to rebuild their faith in God. They needed to believe that God could take care of them, even if every visible fact surrounded them with disclaimers to that fact. They needed to believe that God was in charge. There were very real threats. Powerful enemies were making threats against them. History had not been counted. God had let them be overrun by enemies. They had tried, but it wasn't working out. These were the people that left the faraway captivity, came back to Jerusalem to do what God wanted them to do, and things just got worse. It wasn't working out. You will know the feeling if you have ever decided to follow God to see what God's plan was for your life. Maybe you got tired of living without a purpose, so you've decided you're going to give your life to God. Or maybe you carried a load of pain or trouble and you're tired of the burden. Whatever your place, you decided to make a change. Did you pray more? Did you read your Bible? Did you show up in church every Sunday? And did it seem like God did not keep his end of the bargain? You waited for change and the waiting goes on and you're still the same person in the same place. Here is a lesson for that moment when you have walked a lonely path and it seems even God is far away from you. Here's what I believe is a truth of Scripture, absolute truth of Scripture. God always wins. Soon Rome, Soon Rome would rule. I can't talk anymore. Rome would rule this part of the world, and they would be invincible, and there would be no army in any nation in the land that could stand up against the army of Rome. And one famous ruler in Rome, just because he had the power, would say everybody has to go to their hometown, and they have to take a census so that they could tax all those people. And so a carpenter and his betrothed went to Bethlehem, right outside where these walls were being built, because they had to. They were told to do it. And they had a child, and they named him Jesus. And he would become the religion of the empire of Rome. They would try to stamp him out. They would try to kill him. They would try to kill his followers. They would imprison them. They would torture them. They would work every way they could with the power of that invincible army to destroy them. And in a period of time where that religion should have been destroyed, it became the religion of Rome. God always wins. Maybe it's not God. Maybe it's you. Maybe you are meant to live with loss. Maybe God wins, but maybe God is just not on your side. Been kept awake at night with the idea that maybe God is not on your side? There have been times in the past when there have been conflicts, when there have been wars, and you can't figure out whose side God is on. During the Civil War in this country, there were believers on both sides of that conflict, both sides praying to God. In World War II, when we were fighting a terrible tyrant like Hitler, there were still believers on both sides throwing prayers up to God. And some of those prayers had to have been in German. There were believers on both sides. Today, the battle lines are more clearly drawn and very comfortable stating where they are. When atheists battle to have every mark of Jesus taken from the public place, they are not praying to God. They are not partially believing in God. They are the enemies of God. I know I'm sometimes politically incorrect when I'm up here. Islam is not a true religion of God. Islam is not a people who follow the same book we do. Islam is not a people who pray to the same God that we pray to. Islam is a religion that calls us the unbelievers, that calls us the infidels. This is not a statement that lines up with the God of our Bible. You and I need to learn that there are battle lines drawn that stand between the people of God and the people that are not of God. It's a significant dividing line. And isn't it remarkable when you divide up those two lines, we hear the same attacks. You know what they did to pick on the people in Nehemiah's time that were building that wall? The first thing they did was they made fun of them. They jeered at them. The same kind of thing that has gone on through all the centuries. Make fun of people who pray. Make fun of people who are believers. Call them names. Call them silly. When that didn't stop the wall building, then they began to tell lies about the people building the wall. They wrote letters to the king of Persia, and they said, those Jews are building a wall out here because they want to be in rebellion to you. Funny how God works it out. You know who the queen was in Persia? It was Esther. One of their people. God had placed in that position. God always wins. It did not work against them. But look how many times Satan uses the same thing over and over again. Lie after lie after lie about what it means to be a Christian. We can believe in the Bible, and we are not committing a hate crime, and yet that is how we are accused. We can believe in the Bible and not be bitter, mean people clinging to some outdated traditions. Do not believe the lies Satan tells about followers after Christ. God has won the victory. This is the truth. We get to share the information with anybody who wants to know. I encourage you, don't witness to people who don't want to know. Don't force your religion on other people. It's a waste of time, number one. I don't believe that's what we're called to do. If someone wants to know about Jesus, you ought to be prepared to tell them about Jesus. It is not painful. It is not miserable. It is not frightening when someone asks you and you tell them this one simple thing that changes life forever, something I know about and you know about. If you want to be part of the ministry of Jack and Kathy Carlos, I encourage you to do that. At least go into the process with your eyes open. They are on a victory tour of the world. Everywhere missionaries go, God saves souls, and God changes lives, and God showers them with miracles. If you want to see the mark of those miracles in your life, if you want to see the power of God in your life, Cast off your doubt. Step into tomorrow and understand this one truth securely. God always wins. He already has. And more than that, this can't be an historical fact, a world fact, a national fact, a church fact. It has to be a personal fact. It has to be something that changed your place in the universe. The truth that changes your life is that you are loved by God, that you are saved by God, that your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you have a place in the family of God. I remember first time I ever heard the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I was just a little boy. We got our first television when I was 5 years old. And so it was sometime after that. And in the years that I have grown up, and maybe it's still true, The Wizard of Oz was always shown, I think, during the season of Easter. Isn't it? I get Easter and Christmas mixed up. And I heard that song for the first time sometime when I was a little boy, and I got that song immediately. I loved the farm where I was growing up. Grew up in a little farm near Lebo, Kansas, and I did not long to escape anywhere as long as I wasn't in Kansas. I liked being where I was. Even so, I was captured by that song. Somewhere Over the Rainbow, for me, was always a song about possibilities. That old gravel road that went past our farm, I knew connected 3 miles down the road to a blacktop highway, and I knew that when you turned right there, it came to a cement highway. And I had been to Highway 50, and I knew Highway 50 would take you all the way to Kansas City. I always knew I would go down those roads, and I would go to places that I had not heard about. That song always made me think of destinations, that there were places out there that I would be someday. The thing is, a road still runs by my house, and the journey still goes on. And it matters to me that I'm not on a road to nowhere, that I am not aimlessly wandering. It matters that God walks with me. It matters that I'm on my way to somewhere. It matters that I'm not making the journey alone. Somewhere over there is a destination God has chosen. Somewhere over there is a place God has chosen, in a time God has chosen, and God walks with me there. So take up your tools and take up your burden and continue your journey, and know that God always wins. It's just a fact of history. And know, too, that God knows your name, and God has promised that He has made a place for you. So isn't it true, if God always wins, doesn't that mean that you always win? God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.